Greetings, everyone. This is Keith and Karina coming to you once again from the great state of Pennsylvania. We want to continue on in our series on Jesus and Muhammad, and this will be part three. And we're very excited to continue on here, as we believe that the first two parts have really been such a blessing, and they've been a blessing to us to help strengthen our faith in who Jesus is and that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And we want to share that message with others, because even though we're not here to be an enemy against Islam, we're not an enemy against anyone. We don't declare anyone to be our enemies, and especially those who have a heart of righteousness, because we know there are many Muslims in the world who have a heart, a pure heart, and love what is true and what is right, and do not take pleasure in others being killed. So we're not of that persuasion that wants to see people die for any reason. You know, even the Bible says that God does not take pleasure in the death of people, right? He doesn't take pleasure in that. His heart is a heart of love, a father's heart, right? And he wants to see people saved. So even though we may say some things that may appear to contradict, you know, Islam as being a true religion, we want to present the truth as we know it, as Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one can come to the Father but by him. Okay. And we would be wrong not to stand strong on those points, because this is the way of salvation. And Jesus made it very clear that he is the way of salvation. And the Bible makes it very clear. The Old Testament even points to him being the way. And so, having said that, we want to continue on in this teaching with a few more points here before we close it out. I'm not going to probably do an exhaustive teaching on this subject, because there's a whole lot more we can go into about the history of Islam, Christianity, and all that. And that may be for another time. I wanted to make this series kind of brief, even though our first two parts were more than 40 minutes each, our longest podcast. But at the same time, I don't want to make a continual long series. I want to just get to some of the most important points to be able to speak to people about who Jesus was and what did he say and what does the Bible say about him. So with that, before we get into that, of course, I would like to introduce my wonderful, beautiful, and amazing wife, Ms. Norca Karina.
Thank you, Amor. And it is so true. This topic has been so not only inspirational, but educational as well. And we know that God the Father, he has such a merciful heart. God is mercy. We know that God is love. We know that God is powerful. We know that. That's wonderful. But we also have to remember that God is mercy. And it is not his will for anyone to live in deception, for anyone to perish. It is not his will. So it's so good that we are actually sharing this. And I believe that the listeners can pick up on the spirit with which this is being shared, as you said before. And it's a spirit of love. And it's not man love, a mankind of love, because that one can really vary, but truly God the Father, his love, and what he wants for all his creation. And that is our desire. We pray that the listeners will have a heart that is willing to listen and actually even pray, hey, God, I do want to know the truth. Please show me the truth.
Amen, sweetheart. That's beautiful. Beautifully said. And where we left off was about the teaching that's taught by some of the scholars in Islam, is that Muhammad would be the one to follow Jesus and be the last great prophet, you know, and the final prophet, as once some say. And they believe they get that from the scriptures in the Bible, that the Bible validates that. Well, as I pointed out the scripture last time, which I want to go back to, is John chapter 16, particularly verse 13. And I'll back up again to a few verses prior to that. where Jesus is talking about the time that he's going to go away. He's going to leave earth and go back to heaven. He says in verse 7, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's for your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." Well, there are some who teach that that Helper was Muhammad, that he was coming afterwards. And as a matter of fact, I think the word Ansari in Arabic means helper or supporter, one who comes to help. And that was a term that they gave to Muhammad, who came to help them, right? And so they believe that this scripture reiterates that point. And as we continue to read, it says when he had come, when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and judgment. So his mission will be continue those things. So they see Muhammad being that person.
Okay.
And of sin because they do not believe in me, and of righteousness because I go to the Father and you see me no more, and of judgment because the ruler's world is being judged. I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. So nevertheless, this is a point of reference to say, well, see, you can't handle all the truth right now. Someone's going to come after me later, and he will give you more information, more truth.
Okay.
Right? And because he says here, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you, he will tell you things to come. So that, you know, I mean, if you don't know any better, that sounds like he could be talking about Muhammad.
A prophet,
another prophet who will come and be the final prophet, who will give you the final words on things and sum up the things that Jesus said and taught, right? However, we got other scriptures that prove that this is not talking about Muhammad at all. This is talking about the Holy Spirit of God who's going to come and live within the believer.
Amen.
Because if you turn back to John chapter 14, where he's talking about this also and previously, in verse 15, it says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." This is Jesus talking. He says, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper." Was that was that Muhammad he's talking about? "That he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth." Here's the key verse. "The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. That obviously cannot be Muhammad, because one, he's talking to his disciples there presently at the time. It said that he is with you, the Spirit of truth. He is with you and he will be in you.
That's right.
Now, somebody will say, well, could that be the spirit of Muhammad? No, that's not the spirit of Muhammad, because Muhammad never claimed to be a spirit. He was a man who they claimed to be the last great prophet. And when did he come? He came approximately 600 years after Jesus. That's a long time to wait for this helper to come.
That's right.
When he says that he would send him, right? Now, let's look in at the end of the book of John.
That's a really good point. I think that definitely has to be repeated one more time. Some people may need to listen to this. And, you know, when sometimes you hear things that just click and you have an aha moment, we pray that this is an aha moment for many, many listeners who are seeking the truth.
Right. You know, because he told them that he was going to send them and he would not leave them comfortless. Right, but the Holy Spirit would come. And he says that here in Acts chapter 1, when Jesus is making his final statements before he leaves the earth, he says here, and being assembled, verse number 4, Acts chapter 1, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You have heard from me." Okay, so obviously they weren't expected to wait 600 years in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes, because they're not going to even live for another 100 years.
That is true.
Right? For he says, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now.
Amen. Right?
And then they go on and says, therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it's not for you to know the times or the season which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses of me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the age of the earth. Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing into the heaven? This same Jesus, whom was taken up from you into heaven, will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, at Sabbath day's journey. And then if you turn over to the next chapter, chapter 2, it says on verse 1, Now when the day of Pentecost had fully come. Now what is the day of Pentecost? Well, the word Pentecost means, if you break that into two parts, Pente and cost. Penti means 50. And cost means count. Count 50. Mm. And that was a feast of first fruits, if I believe, the Jewish people celebrated, right? So Passover, Jesus was considered, as we see through the whole New Testament, we haven't got into that in depth, matter of fact, much at all, that Jesus being the final Passover lamb that was slain for the world, for the sins of the people and of the world. He was the last lamb being slain. And therefore, 40 days after that, because it says back here in Acts 1, you know, we go back to Acts 1, he said that he presented himself alive after suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So Jesus resurrected from the grave on Sunday, the first day of the week, and for a period of 40 days, on and off, he showed himself to the people,
awesome,
to his disciples. But then it says here in verse 1 of chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost had fully come. Well, that was 50 days after Passover. That's when Pentecost is. So that means 10 more days.
Right, in 10 days, not 600 years.
Right. Right, because he appeared to himself for 40 days, and it says here in Acts 1, it says after he spoke those things, he was taken up in the cloud, received him out of their sight. And then it says when the day of Pentecost fully come, 10 more days went elapsed while he, as he told him to wait in Jerusalem until they are endued for power from on high. You'll be baptized in the Holy Spirit not many days from now.
That's right.
So that 10 more days came, and then what happened? And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. It filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them divided tongues as a fire, and one set upon each one. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, if we back up to other things that Jesus said prior to this moment, you know, his last moments before he went up, in John chapter 20, when he first began to appear to them. Now notice this. When he first began to appear to them after his resurrection in the early days. Actually, matter of fact, the first day of his resurrection. Because remember, Luke says in Acts chapter 1 that he appeared and by many infallible proofs. That means these were infallible proofs of his resurrection and who he was. Right? And that he appeared over a period of 40 days. But notice here in John chapter 20, it says, you know, that he had rose on the first day of the week. Now, verse 1 of chapter 20 says, Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw the stone being taken away. And if you read on, I'll let you read on your own, is that Jesus appeared to her. And he said he hadn't sinned into the Father yet, right?
That's right.
This was the first day of his resurrection.
Yes.
Now notice down here in verse, because verse 17, Jesus said, Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and to your Father and to my God and your God. right? So what is he saying? He rose from the dead, but he hadn't went yet to heaven to make the offering on the mercy seat, to sprinkle the blood and appear to the Father. And this is Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. Then that same day at evening, what day? The first day of the week of his resurrection. That same day at evening, being the first day of the week. See, it's pretty clear.
Yeah.
When the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst of them and said, "Peace be with you." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them, "Peace be to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on him and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit."
Amen.
Beautiful. Receive the Holy Spirit. So this wasn't something to come 600 years later. Muhammad is not the helper that was sent after Jesus to confirm the words of Jesus. Because, for one, he did not confirm the words of Jesus, because Jesus said that in 3 days he would die and rise again from the dead. And he said in Luke 24 that it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise again from the dead 3 days. And that forgiveness of sins, repentance and forgiveness of sins should be preached in his name to all nations.
Right.
Muhammad did not confirm that message.
Hmm.
So if he was the helper, he did not help confirm that message, because that's the message. It wasn't the message that Jesus is a prophet, that Jesus did good works, he performed miracles, and he healed the sick, which we know that he did, and that will be even confirmed by the Quran. But the true, most important message was that Jesus would go to the cross and die for the sins of the world.
Amen. And therefore, salvation is only in Jesus. This is so powerful. And I'm so glad that even before we begin the podcast, you and I, we pray and present this and render it to the Lord. Because I know that the Holy Spirit is touching the hearts, opening up the minds, opening up the eyes, opening up the eyes of the heart, taking away the veils. Because you know what? There's a lot of hungry people out there that do want to know the truth. And as much as we want to know the truth, God the Father desires more than us that we may know the truth and be free. It is so beautiful. And I praise the Lord and I thank him for your life, Keith, because the Lord has placed this in your heart to share this teaching. Because we know that the heart of the Father is for all of his creation to know the truth. And Jesus is the way. He is the life. He is the truth. And we pray that all and every listener will open their hearts to the truth, which means to Jesus.
Yes, yes, yes. That's so beautiful, sweetheart. And let me add this, as because some may say, "Well, you know, that sounds very convincing, but I really just have to stick with what I was taught." The Quran says that Jesus did not die, nor was he crucified, but was made to appear to be so. And of surety, he did not die. Now, if you're of the persuasion to believe that, you know, how can I say that you're wrong in the sense of what your Quran says? I'm just presenting to you what the Bible says.
Right.
And that the Bible does not support that view. The Bible supports the view that Jesus came, he was crucified, there were witnesses, and he rose from the dead, and there were many infallible proofs that he had been risen from the dead, and he said that it was in his name that salvation was to be preached. Through his death, burial, and resurrection, through his blood that was shed on the cross, that was the atonement for sin for all mankind, for all of history. And some may say, "Well, you know, I have a hard time with that. I would like to believe it if it's true." Well, then here's my challenge to you. Don't accept it simply because we say it.
Right.
Or simply because even the Bible says so, because you believe the Quran. You may be one who believes the Quran is the word of God, and it's the final word, and brought illumination and truth to override what the Bible says, as some believe that the Bible is corrupted. Here's my challenge to you. Pray and ask God.
That's right.
To reveal the truth to you, because I know this, that it says in Matthew chapter, is it 5 or chapter 6? Matthew chapter 5. When Jesus is saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. This is verse 3. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness.
Amen.
For they shall be filled. If you are hungry,
amen,
and thirsty for righteousness, then you will see the truth and God will make it clear to you. Because, like I said early on in part number one, you know, just because we're born in a Christian nation and raised as Christians, well, when I say a Christian nation, predominantly Christian in some nations, doesn't mean Christianity is true. And just because someone's born in a Muslim country, predominantly Muslim with their teaching and their identity, doesn't mean Islam is true. What makes truth truth is truth, being true. So we take the words that we've learned and we've taught and we've read, and we present them to God to confirm, because God is the author of truth. He's the one who will confirm what the truth is and reveal himself if we are thirsty and hungry for what is right and what is true. He will confirm it.
It doesn't bring confusion. He doesn't tell one group of people one thing, this is your truth, and then some other group, this is your truth. It's one truth, one God, one truth.
Yeah, I mean, there are some who believe that God, you know, appeared in different ways to different groups of people over different time periods of history and different cultures, and this was their truth, and this is their truth. But here's the thing. That can only be true if they didn't contradict each other.
Right, exactly.
If one says, I am the way, the truth, and light, no one comes to the Father but by me, then there's no room for another. Right?
And one plus one equals two has to be true for everyone.
Right. It never equals three.
Right. No matter where you're from.
You can't change the math. The math is universal.
That's right.
So truth is universal. And for those who are hungry and thirsty for truth, truth will be revealed, made clear. But you have to be hungry for it. I don't accept Christianity simply because I was raised in a Christian home. I had to come to a place in my own walk, my own life, where I questioned, am I believing simply because I was born into this and was taught this and I'm just believing it? Well, I had to say, yeah, I probably am. So I had to seek God for myself to confirm. Because, you know, it's easy to become, you know, maybe the right word isn't the word brainwashed, but it's easy to become indoctrinated influenced and taught certain things and have world views about things based on our cultural heritage.
That's true, of course.
And sometimes those are hardest things to let go of.
Mm-hmm.
And I know for particularly in the world today, in many countries, that for a Muslim to question Islam and leave Islam and embrace Christianity, seeing that Jesus is the way, the truth, and life, and there's no salvation in no other name, it can be, matter of fact, even a death sentence over their head. And that's a very difficult place to be in. Rejection by family members, you know, but we can't shy away from sharing the truth based upon what we're afraid someone might have to encounter. My heart hurts to think about someone having to face those things because of rejection and maybe somebody trying to kill them.
That's hard.
But yet we also know that there's a provision for that as well.
Amen.
And thank God that in Jesus Christ is salvation, but not just salvation from one's sins, but salvation from Satan and evil trying to come upon them. Now, how do I know that? because Jesus' package of salvation is a comprehensive package.
Amen.
Of health, wholeness, benefits. Soundness, wellness. Now, that doesn't mean that persecution won't come, but for it to succeed, we have scriptures that tell us that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. And we also know that in Jesus' name is all authority and all power. See, this is something that many who come to Christ in Muslim countries have not been taught, that there is authority in the name of Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that there is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. But saved from what? Saved from hell, obviously. But also saved from the devil and his schemes to destroy your life.
That's right.
And saved from sickness and disease from taking you out. And saved from accidents and harm and destruction. Because salvation is more than just going to heaven. Salvation is about being saved from anything you need to be saved from. And that even means extremists, radical extremists that want to kill you because you changed your faith.
And save you from deception as well.
So I would like to point people to Psalm 91.
Powerful.
As a powerful psalm of divine protection. That if you are a Muslim living in a Muslim country, a matter of fact, this is for everybody.
That's right.
But I would say particularly if you're in a position of danger and your life is at risk for even questioning these things, read Psalm 91. Matter of fact, memorize it.
That's right.
Because if you do get locked up for your faith and they don't allow you to have a Bible, if you've already memorized the 16 verses, then you can quote them the whole time while you're in there, knowing that God's going to deliver you. Because one of the verses in Psalms 91 says that you will not be afraid of the terror by night or the arrow that flies by day, nor destruction that lays waste at noonday. Right? Why? Because God's going to deliver you.
Amen.
1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. He will deliver you. Read Psalm 91. We might have to do a teaching on Psalm 91.
Amen. That would be great.
Later time. But I don't want to leave you with, you know, this great word of salvation to be born again. Because, see, this is another thing about becoming a Christian, is you don't just accept a faith by mental assent. You receive him in your spirit because you become born again. You asked God the Father and Jesus to save you. You accept Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, and you ask him to come into your heart by the Holy Spirit. As he breathed on them to receive the Holy Spirit, he will breathe on you, and you will receive the Holy Spirit and be born again. And this is what Peter said. And when they asked him, what shall we do? He says, repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, right?
Amen.
And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That is God's Spirit to come and live inside of you. God living inside of you. And to give you power, to give you guidance, to give you wisdom. We have angels, but this is even an added on another level. God living on the inside of you to guide you and lead you and to direct you and give you authority over all the power of the enemy. Now, does it mean we're going to change one government, you know, right away, or at least maybe even our lifetime, possibly? But we do have influence over whether or not certain factions out there can take our life. No, because the word tells us to put on the full armor of God, you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil.
Amen.
And anything that's evil out there operating in the earth to come and steal your faith, to come and try to take your life, is coming from the powers of darkness, coming from Satan's kingdom. Because God is not out there trying to kill people.
No.
He's there trying to save them because he sent Jesus. Jesus came to save us from our sins. He said that to Nicodemus in John chapter 3. He said that he did not come to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
Amen. God is so good. And that is the invitation to all the listeners. And once again, I know that the Holy Spirit is right now touching the hearts. And if you really are hungry for the truth, this is our prayer. That, as Keith said, that you will pray to God and say, God, I want to know the truth. Show me. And that is a prayer that He is always going to answer if it's a heart that is truly hungry for Him, for the truth. So we bless you today. And we do want to encourage you, don't just listen to this one. This is part three. Please go back and listen to part one and part two, and you will get a fuller picture, a fuller rendering of what the topic has been. And we want to take a moment to thank you for your time and to bless you. And we certainly hope, you know what, that all of those who have accepted Jesus into their hearts, that you have recognized that He died on the cross for you. We certainly hope, we know that those that do it, we are going to see you in heaven. And don't forget that the time here on earth is temporary. It's not forever, but there is an eternity where each one of us is going to spend somewhere all that time, which is not time. So we want to, we look forward to seeing you in eternity forever and ever in heaven.
And all that is a simple prayer to God to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's, you can, right, pray it in your own words. There's no particular order of words that you have to pray. It's you asking Him to forgive you of your sins and to receive Him into your life.
Yes.
And ask Him to give you the Holy Spirit, and He will.
Yes.
And I do feel led now to say that we will do a part four.
Oh, that sounds good.
Because I want to talk more about the power of the Holy Spirit that will come to live within you and what's accessible. We already talked a little bit about the authority of the believer, but I want to get more into that, because in a world that is operated a lot by evil, we need all the protection that we can get. We
That's
need
true.
The truth of God's word,
right,
how the armor of God works for us, how through the Holy Spirit He's given us these tools. He did not just lead us into a life to accept Him and now we're subject to the devil to kill us. No,
no,
we've been given authority in the name of Jesus until the rapture occurs, and those who are left behind are under the authority of the devil at that time. We have that authority now, during this time frame, and we'll talk more about that later. So we want to say God bless everyone who's listened, and we will talk to you more next time. God bless.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.